All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R. Hey, what's going on? Hey, baby. It's the Monday Morning Podcast for October 8, 2017. What's going on? Yes, I'm singing a little bit of Tom Petty. I was lucky enough to be at the Florida Gators game in the swamp against the LSU Tigers. And fucking SEC football. 80,000 people, whatever the fuck it is, going absolutely apeshit. And they had this great tribute, which I'm sure some of you saw the clips online of the whole stadium saying, "I won't back down." It was fucking odd. You know, it sucks the guy died, you know, but he leaves all that great music and all that. It's a great fucking, that's a great life. You know what I mean? Considering all the shit that fucking happens nowadays, the fact that guy was able to make it into his 60s, the very least, still sucks he died, you know, but whatever. It was fucking awesome. You know what's hilarious is if you were there, everybody sang the shit out of that first verse. And then when the second verse came along, you saw the radio fans and then the real Tom Petty fans, right? Everybody knew the first verse. Like, "Well, I won't back down. No, I stand. I don't know the words. Stand my ground." And then all of a sudden, everybody knew the words. And, "Hey, baby." Right? And then it gets to the second verse. Listen to it. Everybody's just kind of, "Well, everybody's just waiting for that. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out," right? So, anyways, we went to the swamp out there in Gainesville, Georgia, where Tom Petty is from. Evidently, I didn't know that till he died, and I knew he was from Florida. Yet another great musician from Florida, right? You got all the fucking Allman Brothers from down there. You got Tom Petty. I don't know where the Heartbreakers are from, but, you know, I mean, he met them, so they had to be somewhere near Florida, right? Somewhere in the fucking lower 48. But, Jesus Christ, did that stadium, Ben Hill fucking stadium, aka the Swamp, did that thing ever live up to its fucking name? My God. We had upper deck seats, and it was just fucking, it was ridiculous. First of all, we go up there and they had like the aluminum seats up top, just like the old Patriot Stadium, you know? And if you stood up during the wintertime when everybody had the big winter coats on, if you stood up too long after a good play or most likely a disappointing play back then, when you went to sit back down, you lost your seat. And then you were just sort of standing up. You couldn't sit down. And then people would pelt you with hot dogs and fucking snowballs and all that shit. And you know what you did? You laughed. And all your friends laughed at you. You didn't make a fucking, you didn't have a cell phone to make a video and turn yourself into a victim, you know? So, we were sitting up there and you literally had to just walk back into the tunnel. And with all that heat coming off the field and all those people there, like literally where you walked into the stadium became like a wind tunnel. And I was going out there, man, and I'm going to tell you right now, there was a bunch of people just fucking sitting down, all shapes and sizes, all ages, from kids all the way to old people, just sitting down like, "Yo, I got to take a good fucking 10-minute break here, or I think I'm going to fucking die." And then mercifully, the sun started to go. By the way, it's October. It felt like fucking August. And
the sun finally went down, and it was a great game. I know, you know, the Gators were missing their starting quarterback, and I also know, obviously, LSU had that horrible fucking loss last week to the Trojans, Troy. And so it was a big win for them. It was just a fucking, it was a great game. Unfortunately, that kid missed that field goal. Everyone's chanting his name, Eddie, Eddie. You know, I don't know what happened. The fucking kid missed the extra point. Which kind of sucked because I would have loved to see an overtime. But there was this one LSU fan, this old guy. Just, he was fucking hilarious. Even like Gator fans, as annoying as he was just this old guy. And he would do these stupid dances whenever LSU had like a big play. He looked ridiculous and was making a complete ass of himself all the while having the best time of his life. And everybody, I don't know. It's just one of those, just one of those great fucking moments. Why you go to sports and all that shit. And you know, we had a great time. We didn't even pay for fucking parking either. And then we found out why afterwards, because we were so buried in. But it was just awesome to finally go there. Legendary school, legendary fucking field. And I actually learned this about that field. Is that that field is in like the top 20 biggest stadiums in the United States. Here they are right here. Michigan, number one. Number two, Penn State. Then Ohio State, Texas A&M, Tennessee, LSU, Alabama, University of Texas, USC, Georgia. That's the top 10. Then UCLA, the Cotton Bowl, Nebraska. Florida comes in at number 14. And I was pretty psyched. As far as the top 10, I've been to every fucking one of those stadiums except for Penn State. And what's the other one? Michigan, Texas A&M, Tennessee. I haven't been to Tennessee. So I got to fucking knock those out, all right? I got to try to do that shit. I know, it's fucking stupid shit, but this is what this podcast is. This podcast is stupid shit, all right? Stupid shit that doesn't fucking matter. And then listening to me, you know? All these fucking assholes. You know, I've been getting letters lately of really heavy variety. I don't fucking do that on here. You're listening to the wrong fucking podcast. There's enough of that out there. This place is to forget your fucking troubles. Fucking asshole. Some douchebag sent me this fucking email. The name of the email was Fuck America. And then he goes on to present his argument about gun control. It's like, buddy, you started it off with Fuck America. Like, how is the people that you want to listen to this going to listen to it after that? So I won't be reading that one. You know what I mean? All these fucking people screaming and fucking yelling about this and about that. You know what I mean? Every time there's a big fucking tragedy. You know what I love now? I love how everybody's got to fucking weigh in now, right? And then, like, it becomes... My favorite things is celebrities react to the hurricane. You know what I mean? Like, oh, good. I need to know what J-Lo thinks about a Category 5. Oh, was she upset that that happened to Houston? Who wouldn't be? Who the fuck wouldn't be? I just don't understand why they do that. I've never fucking understood. There'll be like a fucking earthquake, and then it's always like hashtag fucking thinking about, you know, wherever the fucking earthquake hit. You know what's funny about those fucking accounts? Most of those, like, if you're smart, I guess, you don't do your own account. You have somebody else do it. So whenever anything bad happens, they actually, it's somebody else doing it for the person. So they don't get in trouble. They don't say the wrong fucking thing. I just, everything has just become that. I missed that whole story about Cam Newton. He said some smart alecky thing to a fucking female reporter, right? And rather than her just settling with him, being like, hey, Cam, why don't you go fuck yourself? And then they laugh it off and they both drink a Bud Light or something, a Miller Light, like they used to, how it used to go down. All of a sudden now, he showed up to the game today for some reason, dressed like a pimp, like a, I don't know what, and then he's got like a fucking Rosie the Riveter. Fucking thick, and then he's going to say all this positive shit about women. I don't it's just one fucking apology after another. Meanwhile, the world is going to hell in a fucking handbasket, and I got to fucking sit here and I'm going to watch that I need to see the resolution of that. Like, these two fucking adults cannot solve this amongst themselves. I swear to God, I was half listening to Cam Newton. I swear to God, he was talking to Rosie the Riveter as if it was a real person. Am I out of my mind? Or that wasn't that like a caricature that represented women working in World War II? Was there really a woman named Rosie and her middle name was The and the last name was Riveter? I might be wrong, you know? By all means, let me look this up before I have to have a press conference and fucking apologize to somebody. Here we go. Rosie the Riveter. Rosie the Riveter. All right. Rosie the Riveter is a cultural icon. Yeah, I swear to God, he was fucking talking like it was a Maybe he wasn't. That would be fucking hilarious. And lastly, I'd like to apologize to Rosie the Riveter. I know she did a lot of things. She riveted a lot of rivets back down there by the river. And I apologize. Here's something I wish people in the press could do. I wish they could get their balls broken a little bit more, especially if you're going to go in the locker room. You know what I mean? If you're going to fucking go in there, people are going to bust your chops. Like, the athletes, like, they should be able to sit there and be like, what did you say, you bald, fat fuck who couldn't run 30 yards without having a heart attack? What was your question about my decision in the second quarter? Why can't they do that? I don't understand why they can't do that. What'd you say, lady? You address me as Ms. Sports Reporter. Oh, go fucking fuck yourself. That stupid ass story, it will get more fucking coverage than pharmaceutical companies basically being heroin dealers. You know what I mean? They're not going to fuck with that because they advertise on that channel, but God forbid somebody throws one high and tight at somebody with a fucking clam and all of a sudden, oh, Jesus, the whole fucking world stops. I'm not saying he shouldn't apologize. They should fucking handle it. This, like, he didn't say it to me. The fuck am I sitting here watching it for? I don't know. He lost, like, advertising money. I mean, who can even fucking remember? Like, what, you know, the only one thing I can ever remember, this is some of the greatest advertising, I guess, because I can remember, was Shaquille O'Neal did a bunch of Buick ads. And that was the funniest fucking thing ever, because, and a lot of people instantly when they saw that, it's like, Shaq doesn't drive a fucking Buick. It's one of the top 50 NBA players of all time. What the fuck did he do with his money that he's driving a Buick? Even if he blew all his goddamn money from being a player, he's still got a TV gig. He's not driving a Buick. He can't even fucking fit in one. Maybe that fucking Roadmaster from back in the 50s. Cut the roof off a Riviera, maybe. I don't know. Take out the front seat. He could sit in the back end. I don't know. Actually, Shaq is memorable. I don't know why. He does that, and then he has the one with the little Monopoly guy. The General, which just looks like the cheesiest fucking insurance ever. You know? And then Shaq does that, you know, I'm not really smiling. I'm just smiling because I'm going to get paid, you know? Where he has the under and the overbite. He just puts his top teeth on his bottom teeth. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I usually don't fucking do these when I fly on the same day. I just, of course, I have no fucking time. I have a million fucking things to do. What else? Oh, should I address this? I will address this. The big fucking story that everybody's talking about out there, I am of the firm fucking belief. I am of the firm fucking belief. This is a new theory. I'm not saying I'm right, but I am of the fucking belief that the fucking attention that they give to these fucking lunatics is why, more than ever, people do that lunatic shit. Like, do you remember when Kim Kardashian, she made that sex tape, and then all of a sudden somebody got a hold of it, and then it went out there, and then it became like this porno tape? And up until then, that was unbelievably embarrassing, and it fucking ruined you, and then that was it. That was fucking it. But somehow she came out the other side with the TV show and is now like a fucking, like an icon, multi-fucking millionaire. And right after that happened, what happened? a bunch of women who wouldn't have done that shit went out and tried to do that shit because they saw it. And what stopped it was none of it. None of them fucking made it. However, if they started fucking making it and started getting attention the way these lunatics do, I saw on the cover of People magazine, they're like going, this is the deadliest yada, yada, yada of all fucking time. You're giving these fucking lunatics a number to now shoot for. Because the same way I sat on TV and I sat at home on TV and I'm saying, oh, look at that stand-up comedy. That looks cool. I want to fucking do that. Lunatics want to do this other shit. I am of a firm fucking belief they should not fucking, shouldn't say the dude's name. That's it. You go in, you whack the guy, you throw him in a fucking incinerator, and then you throw his ashes in a fucking sewer. That's it. All right? And then you take care of whoever got fucking hurt. That's what you do. All right? But all this fucking shit that you then put it on the top, and then, you know, one of these fucking channels, they're gonna do like they do with the serial killers. You know, you never know the victims' names. You just know that those fucking people and all the fucking celebrities, you know, who if they even run their goddamn accounts, then they got to fucking comment about it. The celebrity reaction to the tragedy where they weren't at. You know something else? Ah, fuck it. I'm on a rant. You know what else I liked? I liked all these douchebags who were taking videos of themselves. They weren't anywhere near it. Hey, just letting everybody know that I'm all right. It's like, yeah, dude, you're 20 fucking miles down the street. Who the fuck even knew you were there? Who are you making this for? You can't just text your friends and be like, yeah, dude, I'm cool. I don't know. Everything has, it's got to be about, everybody's got to make it about themselves. It drives me up the fucking wall. Drives me up the fucking wall. I have no solution for this shit, but I do firmly fucking believe that they have to stop making these fucking lunatics famous and ranking, you know, the body count. I might be wrong. The fuck do I know? I'm a comedian, okay? I'll apologize next week. I'll wear a fucking a Ted Bundy button on a pimp hat, and I'll fucking apologize to somebody, I guess. I don't know what. All right, there you go. I'm done. I'm done with my fucking rant there. Anyways, what else? What else? Oh, yes, I went to the fucking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. That shit just drives me nuts. It's not about so-and-so's fucking reaction. It's about the people that were there and then the people who came in and fucking helped the people. It's not about the lunatic that did it. It's about those people. That's who it's about. It's not about you down the street. No, I was fucking there and the DJ stopped playing records and I was like, whoa, what's going on? Anyways. I went to the fucking Buccaneers game. The pirate ship one, not the choo-choo train. It's very confusing for Boston sports fans, okay? We got one with a pirate ship, one with the choo-choo train. And fans were fucking great. Great goddamn fans. Loved the stadium. And you know what's funny? You could tell that they built the pirate ship first, and then they put the flat screen, the giant screen afterwards, because the Buccaneers won Super Bowl, I believe the 2002 season. And I vaguely remember them. They brought the flag up and they put it up on the ship, which was cool. You know what I mean? The Buccaneers, they're pirates or whatever. They got the ship or whatever, right? But now they got this giant flat screen. So the fucking championship flag was blocking the TV screen. So now their Super Bowl flag is made out of mesh. And it's difficult to see. It's like you won a Super Bowl. It should be a giant fucking flag. Move the ship or fucking put the championship flag somewhere else. Maybe they have another one. I couldn't see it, but that struck me as funny. You know what I mean? It also made me like Tampa Bay. Where I'm just going, look at these fucking guys. They don't have $1 zillion. They're just adding on to this thing like somebody bought a house. Then they got a little money. They put a fucking addition on it, you know? And somebody bought a boat. Then a recession happened, you know? Then he came back to the good times. He bought a big fucking TV, and then they got to adjust the sales. You know, it's why you ever see like a degenerate gambler sitting there playing cards. You always see like signs of when they won. They'll have like a really shiny bracelet, you know, dirty hat, but like $500 sunglasses. It's just like, it's up and down, up and down, up and down. Like the whole fucking wardrobe. Dirty jeans with like a fucking, wearing a mink. Anyway, so we went there, had a great time, was embarrassed by this one Patriots fan who just would not sit down. He was just fucking, you know, this guy weighed like 140 pounds, and he never got the shit kicked out of him, clearly, and he just wouldn't sit down. And people arguing, well, it's his right if he wants to stand up. It's like, but this, you know, there's this guy, he brought his girlfriend, she's short, she can't see around him, there's nobody standing in front of him. And this Patriots friend was like, you know, threatening to punch him in his figure. I'm going to punch you right in your fucking ear. It was really like Patriots fans arguing with Patriots fans. It was fucking hilarious. And I saw that. We even won the game when we came out of the stadium, and I saw there was a group of fucking Patriots fans, and they were like arguing with each other. And I just vaguely heard this guy going, dude, why can't I wear a Teddy Bruschi jersey? What the, if you can fucking wear, and then they just kind of walked by. But anyways, it was a great time, and we had a great show out there. And then the next day, old sober Bill, 53 fucking days in, we rode up to the swamp and listened to Ozzy on the way up, because on the way up there, you kind of go, not, you get like within like 10 miles, I think, if you take the 75 north of where Randy Rhoads died. So we listened to some early Ozzy, early solo Ozzy, I should say, on the way up, and just had a great time. Pulled in, fucking smoked a cigar, had a great fucking time. Got to go to another SEC game. It was a great time. Definitely a great time. So thank you to everybody who came out. I will definitely definitely be back. I think the next time I come back, maybe I'll go back for Florida State. I've been to Miami. I've been to the Gators. So the only thing left really is Florida State. And then there's that one, like, is it Central Florida? There's another one that always has a lot of NFL players. Is it Southern Florida? Something like that. I can't remember. Whatever. I'll figure it out. That Patriots fan wouldn't sit down. He had a Tom Brady fucking jersey on and salmon shorts. And everyone's going, dude, sit down. Sit the fuck down. First time somebody said sit down, he turns around. He goes, you asked me nicely. Little shit. Little fucking guy. And not like a stocky, not like a Ty Domi built little guy. This was just a slight man. And I don't know, was taking sports way too seriously. I remember we got a first down, like a big first down at the end of the game. And he did like that, you know that, remember that Jordan thing that he would do? We'd make a fist and he'd fucking bring his arm up. You know, when he sank the fucking shot and it was over. He fucking did that. You know, when the Patriots got a first down, he had fucking lower jaw sticking out and shit. I don't know what the fuck. Just looking at him, lunatic, and he just wouldn't sit down. And finally, Bartnick got him to sit down. I can't tell you what he said. I can tell you what it started with. He said, hey, Giselle, sit the fuck down. And I can't say the rest because everybody, you know, everybody gets all fucking uptight now. But you know what? It was effective. He sat the fuck down and did not get up for the rest of the game. And when he did, a few times he got up on big plays and everybody else got up and they sat down. Then he was finally a fucking gentleman about. Here's an interesting question. Paul Verzi asked me on the ride back. He goes, do you believe in destiny? And I told him no. He goes, no, I'm just asking. Like, do you believe like Michael Jordan was destined to be the greatest basketball? And I was like, no, I don't. I don't. And he was saying that he did. That he believed that you have your destiny, and whatever your destiny is, like, that's what the fuck your destiny is. And I just don't believe that. I don't. You know what I mean? I think you're born with the talent, and if you work your fucking ass off, you can make it happen. However, how fucked up the world is, there's a bunch of people that can take your destiny away from you. Like, you can fucking have, you know, your destiny is to be whatever. You're going to be a doctor and fucking blah, 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 blah. And then you go out one day, you drive down the street and you get hit and by a drunk driver and you die. So like, that was your destiny was to get hit by a drunk driver. I don't think it is. I think if the world was a perfect place, everybody would reach their potential. But, you know, I've said this before, like, the world doesn't give a shit about your dream, whether it comes true or not. It fucking sucks. And even if you make all the right choices and all that shit, you know, some fucking lunatic can, you know, take it away from you. So, see, this is why I don't talk about that shit. All you cunts asking me about it. I don't want to fucking talk about it. The world is depressing enough as it is. All right. The All Things Comedy fucking festival podcast read. We're having our first All Things Comedy festival at the end of the month, October 26th through the 29th in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to be there recording my first ever live Monday morning podcast. I don't know how I'm going to do it. If I'm going to dress the crowd, if I'm just going to come walking out, I don't know what I'm going to fucking do. Doug Stanhope, the great Doug Stanhope, the legendary Doug Stanhope, the national treasure that is Doug Stanhope, is doing his podcast at the Orpheum Theater. Bert Kreischer, Ari Shaffir, Jen Kirkman, and the Crab Feast are also on the lineup. Basically, we're taking over downtown Phoenix with a pop-up podcast studio, and the whole network is going to be there. If you're in the Phoenix area, come hang out with us. Go to allthingscomedy.com to get your tickets. I can't wait to do this, man. This is going to be fun as hell. It's really going to be fun as hell. I know this has been like a fucked up podcast because I'm trying to talk around a lot of shit, and it, you know, and yet another one of my fucking friends died. Co-workers died, and it's just fucking sucks. It sucks. You know, Ralphie May, the great Ralphie May, unfortunately passed away this weekend, and just legit fucking murderer. That guy just fucking killed. He killed him the first time I saw him. I think it was... was it the late 90s when he came out? I believe it was the late 90s. He came out, and there was already another comic there, bigger guy, Ron Lester, who also has since fucking passed away, unfortunately, which I didn't even realize. He died last year, so rest in peace to him. And, you know, those big guys had to deal with, like, clubs. They kind of had this thing where they just, you know, they had their big guy comic. And... so it was like weird. They almost were like in competition with each other. And then Ron ended up getting all this acting work and he just sort of stopped doing stand-up. But Ralphie came in and just was just a fucking, was a force to be dealt with. And, you know, that just fucking sucks. Remember he always telling me he was going to teach me how to smoke meat or whatever like that, you know. Because he was just going, you don't know how to do it, Bill. He's like, you're from fucking Massachusetts. I'm from Tennessee. I'm going to show you how to do it, blah, blah, blah. And of course... we both got busy. We never got around to doing it. And I know he's got two little kids. So I imagine someone's putting together a benefit somewhere for it. So I imagine I'll be doing that. But yeah, it was just a fucking sad, sad time. God damn it. I remember I did the Traveling Virus tour with him. I did a lot of gigs with that guy. Like a lot of those sort of, you know, I don't know. He was much younger than me. Not much. I'm 49. He was 45. We came up roughly. He started younger than I did. That's what it was. Because we both kind of started at the same time, I want to say. So he was always as seasoned as I was. So I always felt, I felt like we were the same age, even though I was older than he was. So as we went up, I just a lot of comedy festivals, a lot of tours. The tours always got better. He was the guy, I told you this, Ralphie May was the fucking guy. I remember I did this gig, Chilkoot Charlie's, which is a great gig, but their fucking accommodations was the worst accommodations I ever had. It was up in Alaska, and I showed up, and the bed literally was broken. And it looked like the bed bugs, like, left. Like, they couldn't hack it. We're like, fuck this. And I remember the boards were busted, and the mattress was like fucking... and had a giant crease in it and shit. And I was, you know, raised Catholic or whatever. So rather than expressing that you didn't like it, you just took it. And just was like, all right, I got to be tough. I got to fucking... I told you, the first night I spent in fucking... my walk-through bedroom, my first night in New York City, I felt this thing on my chest, and I turned on the light, and there was a roach crawling across my chest, and I flicked it off my fucking chest. I didn't even kill it. I just thought it was like, oh, this is what I got to, I got to get myself tough enough to handle this. Like, I'm going to live with bugs crawling over me. Yeah, I'm a fucking lunatic. I don't know what. So anyway, so I do the gig and I stay in that shithole. So I end up going down to the Laugh Factory like a week or 10 days later, and I walk in. Ralphie was always hanging out. Always did the work, you know, and I came down and he was just like, hey, Bill, what's up? I say, hey, man. He goes, where are you coming from? That's what we always asked each other. There were certain guys, you know, that were just road dogs. Hedberg, Ralphie, Stanhope, Geraldo. Like, these were the guys. Every time I went to a fucking club, they either were just there or they were going to be there the next week. When I was coming up, we were all kind of closing the same rooms. Like, Hedberg was a little bit ahead of me, as was Stanhope. But they were roughly my age. And those were guys that I really looked up to as far as, like, you know, they started a few years before me, so they were just sort of cutting this path. And their style is like, I want to do that. I want to say what the fuck I want to say on stage. I don't want to do what they're doing. I want to, you know, be who the fuck I am the way they are, was basically it. So anyways, we used to always ask each other, where are you coming from? Where you going or whatever, right? Whenever I ran to any of those guys. And so I run into Ralphie and he goes, where are you coming from? I was like, oh, I did that gig up in Alaska, Chilkoot Charlie. He's like, oh, fuck, I did that gig. Great gig. I was like, yeah, great gig. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I go, how about that comedy condo? And Ralphie got this serious look on his face. He goes, oh, I didn't stay there. I go, what do you mean? He goes, man. He goes, I took one look at that place. He goes, I'm not staying here. And they got me a hotel room. And I just looked at him and I said, you can do that? And he laughed. He goes, yeah. He goes, what the fuck are they going to do? He goes, it's Alaska. Are they going to get another fucking comedian to fly 6 hours all the way up there? Have some lumberjack go on stage and tell some street jokes? He's like, just say no. And that was one of those things I fucking learned. And I was just like, all right. And after that, if I went someplace, and it was a shithole, I just said no. And if they just said, we're not paying for a hotel room, I said, you know what? I'm going to pay for a fucking hotel room. And it was worth it to just be able to go back to a fucking place where you felt safe and you didn't feel like there was going to be bugs crawling on you or somebody jizzed all over the fucking bar or God knows what, fucked some chick on her period. I'm not even going to tell you that fucking story. Every comedian knows that fucking one. That goddamn fucking crime scene. Cleaning lady quit. The big rumor was the bloodstains were still on the fucking windowsill. I swear to God, this is not myths. So God damn it, Ralphie. I'm going to miss you, buddy. Fuck. Anyways, all right, let's get into some. Now that I've talked about another dead friend, let's talk about some advertising here. Loot Crate, everybody. Give me the loot. Loot Crate, be the envy of your friends and get your 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/burr and enter my code burr to save $3 off on any new subscription. October's Loot Crate theme is mythical. I cannot believe these people are still advertising me. This just can only mean one thing, that you guys are into this shit. Could somebody please write into the podcast and explain to me what this is? I just picture this as a giant trunk of lightsabers and underoos. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises. Franchise to me is McDonald's. If you want to get fancy, get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. Want to geek out your pet? Try Loot Pets. Offer expires October 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific. You hear the stories, the whispers of creatures and beings beyond imaginations. No, I don't. I don't even know what you're talking about. You hear the stories, the whispers of creatures and beings beyond imagination? Is that like a Joel Osteen quote? You hear the stories. the whispers. God wants you to have creatures and beings beyond imagination. Join us as we peer into the shadows. Oh, Jesus, fucking creeps. And look into the other realms for October's truly mythical collection. Get unreal items from Marvel, Ghostbusters, Stranger Things, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. All right, I know what all of those things are. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. What the fuck do you get in it? Stranger Thing, like yo-yo or some shit? I don't know. To subscribers, well, evidently you guys know what it is because they keep advertising. And receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Go to lootcrate.com/burn. Enter my code BURR, B-U-R-R, to save $3 off on any new subscription today. You should get a trunk full of stuff, evidently. Every fucking month. Is it a nice trunk? Do you get to keep it or is it disposable? Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Everyone knows Dollar Shave Club ships amazing razors for a few bucks. At the store, there are too many options, and you can't tell the difference between any of them. Then, if you have any questions, the clerk usually doesn't know the difference, or there's only one person working the store. It becomes a major pain in the ass, and you got to wait 20 minutes for someone to find the key, right? Dollar Shave Club makes it easy and convenient for you to upgrade your shave and your bathroom. Now you don't have to set foot in a store to get high-quality shave and grooming products. Dollar Shave Club delivers them right to your door. Just like their razors, everything is super high quality and will leave you looking and feeling amazing. For only $5, this starter set features their executive razor and trial size versions of their most popular products that help you stay fresh and clean. In your first box, you will receive their shave butter, body wash, and one wipe. Charlie's butt wipes. You will also receive their executive razor, which includes their premium weighty handle and full cassette of cartridges. After the first box, replacement cartridges are sent for only a few dollars a month. This offer is exclusively available at dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. Dollar Shave Club's high-quality products will have you covered from face cheeks to butt cheeks. There's no better time to try the club. All right. Oh, look who's here. It's old Zip. What if hiring could be easy, more streamlined, and less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then Zip puts in its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting so you receive the best possible matches. It's like a dating site, except you're hiring people to work at your company and not to suck you. You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates so you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit. No wonder 80% of employers who post on Zip get on quality candidates through the site in just one day. And the easy-to-use Zip dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish all in one place. The smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/burr. One more time.
Hi.
That's Zip. .com/burr. All right. The last one, everybody. It's Helix. Helix? You know, there are a ton of online mattress retailers popping up these days. Are there? I have no idea. All with a one-size-fits-all solution to a better sleep. Guess what? One-size-fits-all doesn't work. Helix Sleep offers something that doesn't exist anywhere else. A mattress personalized to your unique preferences and sleeping styles that won't set you back thousands of dollars. Go to helixsleep.com/burr. Take their simple 2 to 3 minute sleep quiz. They'll build a custom mattress that would be the best thing you ever slept on for couples. You know what I would love? I would love a mattress that when I fall asleep with a glass of booze in my hand, it doesn't spill on my pajamas. But that's the old me. And I got to be honest with you. I miss the old me. And I'll tell you right now, I would be as great as I feel not drinking for the last 53 days. I'll tell you right now, old Freckles is getting thirsty. For couples, they even personalize each side of the mattress. Butterflies for her, big old titties for you. Everyone from GQ magazine to Cosmopolitan to the New York Times are all talking about, well, you pay for advertising. I'm talking about it. Helix, and once you try it out, you'll know why. Your custom mattress arrives direct to your door in a week, and shipping is completely free. Try it for 100 nights. If you don't love it, if you don't love that motherfucking mattress, goddamn it, we'll come back. They'll pick it up, gross, and refund you in full. I always picture them showing up in like fucking the Walter White hazmat suit.
Yeah, I'm here to check out your mattress that you jerked off on for the last fucking month, you piece of shit.
Go to helixsleep.com/burr right now, and you'll get $50 towards your custom mattress. That's helixsleep.com/burr for $50 off your order. Helixsleep.com/burr. All right, let's go to the questions for the week. All right, fuck you, America. I'm not reading that one. Are my mom and her boyfriend being selfish, or am I? By the way, the person who wrote Fuck You America, I'm not saying that you didn't make some decent points there, but it's a waste of time for you to write that, for me to read it after you write that. All right. Why don't you grow the fuck up and come up with a more mature title, and I'll read that one. How about that? How about that? How about that? And then I'll wade into the topic of gun control as if I know a fucking thing about it or even have a solution. Are my mom and her boyfriend being selfish, or am I? Dear Bill, I'm 19 and live at home working to get this carpenter's apprenticeship with a local union, and please don't say my name on the podcast. Well, why would you give me your name, you fucking moron? About 2 months ago, my mom's boyfriend started coming over and staying over to a point where he was practically living there. Gross. They would stay here in this place. They would stay here in his place exactly half the time. The first 3 days he was here, I heard their headboard day and night. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. My mom said they had been friends for a year now, but only went on 2 dates. I asked her to have him not be here as much, and if she could just come home without him. I don't want him. I don't want to talk to my mom with this guy right fucking there. Nothing changed until one night I snapped and went on a rampage. My mom called the cops on me that night. And now the half the time they would have spent here is just my mom now. But here's the kicker. So that's good. You got him out of the house. But here's the kicker. 2 weeks later, he proposed. Oh, boy. When my mom talked to me about it, she asked if I had a problem with her wearing the ring. Literally, the question was only about the ring, not the engagement. I feel totally disrespected by him and my mom for not seeing that this guy has no respect for her son. I've decided to join the Coast Guard because the union stuff is taking too long. I would have just moved in with my dad if every day he didn't just bring out how much of a bitch my mom is. Jesus Christ, dude, this is awful, man. I'm sorry you're going through this. And now his life sucks, and I can't be around that. I'm ready to walk away and just drop my family entirely. My mom swears this guy's a super, super nice, but he doesn't give a fuck about her life as a mother and subsequently me. Or maybe I'm wrong. I just wanted to get another opinion because I'm ready to just cut off everyone in my family and walk away. Thanks and go fuck yourself. Well, it's your mom and your dad. You don't want to do that. you know, I can see why you want to get out of the house when you hear somebody banging your fucking mother. I mean, Jesus Christ. Hey, mom, how about doggy style? You know what I mean? You always got to be in the fucking missionary position. Something. For Christ's sake, can you slide down the bed a little more? All right, well, until you move out, I would recommend getting some wireless headphones. Maybe those Bose ones that block out the fucking noise. I don't know what to tell you, dude. I wouldn't join the Coast Guard unless you wanted to. Well, the Coast Guard sounds like a great fucking job to me. Although I did fucking talk about, you know, that time I went on that thing about, like, whenever a fucking hurricane's coming, how everybody's, you know, going to safety, like how everybody in the Coast Guard is just like, and they got to be on pins and needles because they know some dumb fuck's going to take their stupid boat out there. And then when they fuck up and then they call to rescue them, these poor men and women are going to have to go out and go fish them out. All right, so what are you asking me here? I would not cut out your mother and your father. I would communicate to your mother how you feel about that guy and how you don't feel that he respects you. Okay, and that's the reason you're leaving, I guess. And then I would talk to your dad saying, you know, Dad, I would love to stay with you, but all you do is bitch and say what a bitch my mother is. And she's my mom, and I'm sick of listening to it. All right, just try to say it in a nicer fucking way. But doesn't sound like they're hearing you. Ah, fuck. But here's the thing, dude. If you're going to be, you got to fucking clear the air with them because you can't go into the Coast Guard an angry fucking lunatic. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get into a fight or something because you're pissed off at that fucking douche who's banging your mom. And then that's going to affect your career. So this is something that I've been working on. This is fucking brutal. Forgiving people. Like that guy, you got to somewhere in your head and just forgive the guy for being a fucking moron. And so you get that off of you. And you know, when you forgive somebody, it does a lot for you. It gets it off of you. And then what you should be focusing on is trying to figure out what your dream is and start walking towards it every day. And creating a life that isn't like what you grew up with. So your kid someday doesn't have to fucking deal with what you dealt with. And, you know, and that doesn't happen overnight. And the mistakes I made was I went out thinking, all right, I want to change all this about what I didn't like about growing up. But then what happens is you gravitate towards what's familiar and you end up, I think you kind of go out and recreate it inevitably. And then you have to dismantle that and start over again. At least that's what happened to me. I'm superimposing whatever the fuck happened to me. But I wouldn't come at your mother or your dad with anger. I would just say, listen, I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm not happy with this. I forgive you. I understand you got to try to do what's right for you. But this bothered me because of X, Y, and Z. And just tell your dad. Say, Dad, you know something? I got to forgive you for something. And that'll get his attention. I forgive you for every time that I came over here and you went on and on about and what a fucking bitch my mother was. All right? That did a lot of damage, and it did so much damage that I have to sit here and try to figure out how to forgive you for that. And then just stop talking and listen to what he says, okay? If he's any sort of a man, his head's going to drop, and he's going to fucking apologize to you. And you can, you know, and I'm not saying then all the anger you're going to have towards him goes away right then. You start that, and if you guys work on starting over from that point and really fucking work on it and really fucking communicate, hopefully you can go out into the world and not be an angry young man like I was because I hurt a lot of people. All right, there you go. All right, problem with girlfriend. Dear Billiam, I have a big problem with my girlfriend, with my lady in red. She's coming to me. I have a big problem with my girlfriend. We've been dating for the past 3 years. And I think I might want to marry her. But for the last month or so, we've been having a fight. My sister and I are very close. And since my parents died last year in a car crash, we moved in together, which for some reason pissed her off. I don't know why. Well, I mean, where were you living before that? She probably, after 3 years, wanted you to move in with her. Probably wants a goddamn ring. Then for some reason, the fact that my sister and my best friend still smoke pot and that they are... Then for some reason, the fact that my sister and my best friend still smoke pot and that they are dating as well. Oh, she doesn't like that either. I would admit it was weird for me at first, but I got used to it. Anyway, the fight was about the fact that she wants to move in. That she wants me to move in with her. Yeah, obviously. But I don't want to. And she refuses to move in with me as long as my sister is there. I do love her and all that stuff, but this is something that I just can't do. My sister is in a very fragile place right now, and my girlfriend can't get that or won't. I don't know what to do. If possible, can you ask Nia? I feel like women would understand better. Well, she's downstairs dealing with my daughter. Here's the deal with women. They work on a different clock than we do. All right? So you just took 3 years of her life. All right? And all she's hearing is, you know that story, the telltale heart under the floorboards? That's their fucking womb. All right? They have a finite amount of time where they can have kids. All right? Before you have to start doing some Buck Rogers shit, okay? And women do not want to go through that if they don't have to. All right? So what she needs out of you is some sort of fucking commitment. All right? And she was looking for that. After 3 years, the fact that all she wanted to do was move in, she's being pretty cool. She should probably be going for the fucking ring, depending on how old you are. And what I would do if I was you, dude, I would man the fuck up and either commit to her or I'd break up with her. One or the other. Although the wild card is that your parents died last year in a car crash, so you're probably not in a place emotionally to make that fucking decision. Jesus Christ. You know what? Fuck everything that I just said. Your parents died in a fucking car crash last year. You got to look out for your family members. And if she can't fucking understand that, then, I don't know what to tell you. I guess you got to figure out how much, you're going to find out how much you love her. You know, if you got to let her go, maybe you got to let her go. I don't know. I have no fucking idea. But I understand her side. I've invested 3 years in this, and you moved in with another woman, and it's your sister. That seems like a step backwards to her. And then she has to move in. She wanted to fucking... Listen, this chick wants to marry you. So she wanted to move in and then have you guys have a bunch of communal stuff, because women think that if you do that, that you're not going to... You know, there's a less of a chance that you're going to break up with them. They feel like it's moving in a positive direction. And you went left. Took a left-hand turn, but life gave you a fucking left-hand turn. So you're both not wrong. Why don't you try that? Just say to her, look, you're not wrong for being mad at me. And I'm also not wrong for taking care of my sister. And then just stare at her, and whoever talks first loses. Something along those lines. You're not wrong and she's not wrong. She's not wrong after 3 years to fucking be like, what the fuck? And you're not wrong for looking out for your sister when something like tragic like that. There's just fucking nothing but tragedy nowadays. Jesus Christ. Sorry that happens for you, sir. To you, sir. All right. Geographically locked by marriage. Jesus, there's just no ray of light here. Hi, Bill. Love your work. Thank you for the laughter. Hey, something positive. I've been in a relationship since 2011 with a European woman that became a marriage. I'm originally from South America, educated in the U.S., went to fancy school there, MIT. Look at you, you smart bastard. Then got my PhD in Europe. Whoa, la-di-da. Spreading your brain all around the fucking world here. We've been a solid couple. Our glue was out of love from mountaineering. Mountain climbing, is that what that is? Mountaineering? I don't even know what the fuck that is. Is that some weird sex shit? Or does that mean you fucking... It's not rock climbing. Mountaineering, you just walk up a mountain, yodeling. And outdoor sports. The fuck is mountaineering? Jeep had a Wagoneer. I remember that. I remember a mountaineer. Mountaineering. Wikipedia, you always have the answers. The term mountaineering describes the sport of mountain climbing. Oh, so rock climbing is what people do at gyms now. And mountaineering is if you actually go up a mountain. Okay, I get it. While some scholars identify mountaineering-related activity as climbing, parentheses, rock and ice, and trekking up mountains, others are also adding backpacking, hiking, skiing, Oh, Jesus Christ. I already see these groups. We're mountaineering too. We just take a ski lift. All right, mountaineering. All right. Jesus Christ, dude. What are you, fucking James Bond? Born in Africa, went to MIT, got your PhD in Europe, you fucking climb, you climb mountains, other outdoor sports. How do you top mountaineering? Huh? What do you do? I'm trying to think how you topped it as far as outdoor sports. But now things are, what else do? You grab cobras by the fucking tail and kiss them on the back of the head? By now things are a bit sour. What happened? We'd always been a solid couple. Our glue was out, our love for mountaineering and outdoor sports. But now things are a bit sour. I don't see how I can have a career here in this continent. And she's a working class lady who would suffer a lot from moving. I also have a good business possibility in my home country, Brazil. Oh, South America. I thought you said Africa. South America. Okay, so you simply can't let that go. I developed somewhat of a scorn for the paperwork required to simply exist in Europe and would rather be on my own, live up to my own country, make my money, and have the freedom to explore my vast underdeveloped continent. But she wouldn't be able to come along. Also, for my high-tech education, most good jobs are in the great US of A, but I'm also burnt out with visas and permits and red flags. I don't think I have the strength to beg for a high-tech job that will pay me less than my business in Brazil. Other than that, we get along fine. She's a solid partner, but not the type who would survive the third world. I think it's a no-brainer, but I'm lost. Homebound and would love your thoughts. Thank you. Jesus. I mean, dude, that's a huge... You're gonna ask a fucking comedian who doesn't know you to make that decision? I think at the end of the day, whenever it comes down to stuff like this, you have to make decisions that are going to make you happy. All right? If you don't, you're not going to be happy, and then you're going to make the person you're with miserable. However, if there's kids involved, then, you know, you got to man up and suffer. It doesn't sound like you got any fucking kids. All right? If you're married to this woman and you don't have any fucking kids, then, you know, if you're going to start getting resentful and you're just going to argue and argue and argue and argue, all you guys are going to do is take great years, young, healthy fucking years of your life where you should be having a good time, and you're going to just make each other fucking miserable. All right? So either you figure out how to fuck to stay with her, or she comes along with you, or you go your separate ways. But if you need to, you know, because guys, we're not good sometimes expressing ourselves. Maybe if you sit down before you talk to her, you write down what would make you happy. You write down the points you want to make. I used to do this shit. So I still haven't mastered this, but so I could figure out how to fucking have a productive confrontation. And I would list all the points that I wanted to make. I would list what I wanted. And then I would draw a big, stupid smiley face reminding me not to be an angry cunt. So I don't know if that helps you. I hope it did. So anyways, as if there weren't enough tragedies this month, I don't know what happened. They didn't record the F1 race today. So I missed that Japan one. I did see the clip where, for whatever reason, Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel were like in some meeting in front of all the other drivers, like telling on each other. You know, he took his steering wheel off. The other guy's like, oh, he took his seatbelt off. It was loose. That just made me, I swear to God, man. It's like F1, is that like the soccer of motorsports? I can't believe, what kind of a fucking, I don't understand people who, they have the balls to drive 200 miles an hour on each other's fucking bumpers, staring death in the face, and then they go in there and they fucking telling on each other. That was really disappointing to see. I still love the sport. It's such a great fucking sport, but I don't know. You know what it is? Maybe that's just, it's too much access. I don't need to see that shit. You know what I mean? I don't need to see that fucking. I don't need to know all the fucking ins and outs. The Rosie the Riveters. This guy fucking complaining about this or that. But anyways, congratulations to Lewis Hamilton. Despite the fact you're telling on people in meetings, shamelessly. Maybe that's like a fucking European thing. Like they just have different fucking rules over there. You know what I mean? You can walk around in a banana hammock fucking Speedo, and that's just totally acceptable. Fucking telling on people. I mean, that was just that was embarrassing. I don't know. I don't fucking know. Why did I bring up how much I love boozing? Now I'm just thinking about getting one of those custom mattresses. Remember that thing where they used to have the lady jumping up and down on the mattress and the guy would have the glass of red wine and it wouldn't spill? That's what I need. Anyways, I start, I got some acting work coming up here over the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks. So I got at least another 20 days on this whole not boozing thing. And I'm actually really enjoying it. I've dropped some weight and shit. I do enjoy not drinking, but I will tell you this. It's just nighttime right now, and it's fucking difficult. Oh, look who's here. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. I won't back down. You know, it was one of the great things I've ever seen at a sporting event. Could you please say that again? Do your impression of me again.
Well, one of the great things I've ever seen at a sporting event.
The lovely Nia, everybody.
Okay, Dad. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm great. Baby's asleep. Oh, God. What's going on? It's been a while.
Yeah. I got her all amped up today, didn't I?
Yes, you did. She had one nap for 30 minutes all day. That's ridiculous.
We were excited to see each other.
Yeah, she was excited to see you. It was cute. You guys are cute.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I love that kid, obviously.
Ooh, what do we got here?
Oh, I already read this one.
Boo.
This guy won. All right, I'll just paraphrase these two things, all right?
Oh, you already did them? You don't have to go back.
Well, there was one guy, all right? His mom... He's like 19. He lives at home, and his mom has a new boyfriend, and he can literally hear the headboard getting fucking. Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Terrible, right?
Yeah.
And then if he go stay with his dad, but his dad is always talking about what a bitch is, you know, the divorce.
Oh, that's brutal. Sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. So now he's thinking of just like joining the fucking Coast Guard.
Just so he no. Well, I mean, if you want to, but that seems like an awfully extreme.
Would she get a job at, like, Child World, maybe?
You should, yeah, definitely try to find his own place.
Try to stay on land and work it out?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that you'd have to join. Nothing, there's anything wrong with the Coast Guard.
I think the Coast Guard, it's got to be raining pussy. It's got to be.
How?
You can walk around in a uniform, you're on a boat.
With a bunch of other dudes.
Yeah, then you're not out to sea. Just anytime.
Oh, does it not count if you're on a boat?
Like, what do you mean? does what not count? Like, I don't know what you're saying.
I mean, you know. Oh, right. You know what? I'm thinking of the Navy. The Coast Guard is not the same as the Navy.
No, it isn't. When you said it doesn't count, what do you mean? What doesn't count?
Like, you know, like when guys go to jail and stuff, like it doesn't count. Like you're not like necessarily.
Are you talking about guys banging other guys?
Yes.
How did you get that?
I don't know.
And what does it mean it doesn't count?
It doesn't count if you're out to sea.
Whoever said, where did you ever hear that?
I feel like.
Did you ever bang a guy? Yeah, it didn't count. I was out on a lake.
No, I feel like for sexually flexible men or whatever, like if you're in an extreme situation, like jail or out to sea.
What in God's name are you talking about?
Like it doesn't necessarily.
These people, they go out, somebody tips over in an inner tube. There's a drug dealer coming up. They go out and they fuck them up and then they come back. Yeah, they go on a patrol, but this isn't
No. I got confused. I was thinking that it was like the Navy. Where aren't you like out on a boat like for months?
Yeah, but the Navy, they're not out there fucking each other.
How do you know?
They come into port and then they bang a bunch of.
Why was there a song in the Navy? You can help your fellow man.
That was the Village People.
Yeah,
all right. Do you think Native Americans are gay? Because that one guy with the headdress was going macho, macho
no,
man.
But they were singing about like guy stuff, like places where there's groups of men together.
Listen, I've been to the YMCA. I never fucked another guy. I went there and I used their unbelievably old workout equipment. I played some pickup hoop. I didn't see any gay sex happening there.
All right. Well, fine. Obviously, the Coast Guard is not the same as the Navy. But I was just saying that if it was, it would be fine because it doesn't count because you're out to sea. And, like, you're just not around your normal element. And it's like...
Are you, like, high right now?
Oh, I swear to God, I'm not high. I know I sound really high right now. But I'm not. But, like...
She's getting over being sick, by the way. This isn't like some smoker thing with her.
Yeah, because they're going to be like, oh, she's got a smoker's cough. No, I just, I don't know. My point is, I don't know what my point was. But I was saying, you don't have
my thing is,
in the Navy.
No, I feel like.
Oh, he's joining the Coast Guard.
He's joining the Coast Guard. I figured that's like a fucking, like if you meet somebody in a bar, I would think it's a woman. The guy said he's in the Coast Guard. It's like being like, you know, women like firemen. It's like you're a fireman, except you're fucking on a boat.
Yeah, no, that's hot.
Yeah, and you're like going, there you go. What'd you say?
It's hot.
That's what I was talking about. You don't have to go talk about jail sex. I don't know where the fuck that came from. Isn't it enough this kid has to think of hear his mother getting banged up against the fucking headboard? You got to bring up fucking prison sex?
Sorry.
You know, this podcast has taken a lot of left turns throughout the years. That was one of the bigger ones.
All right. Well, you don't have to join the Coast Guard just to get away from your... But maybe you do. I don't know. What does the Coast Guard do? They're like the cops of the water. Right. Okay.
Well, this is who I married, everybody. This is when you thought she was the brains of the outfit. We have a child that we're going to raise. What is the Coast Guard? Oh, wait. That's right. Aren't they like the cops of the water? Hey, do they get upset when there's like a tornado? Not a tornado. Look how dumb I am. A fucking hurricane. Hey, settle down, water. That'll be enough of that. No, they actually do a lot of badass shit.
But they
save people's lives. They fly out there and fight all these fucking dopes.
But they are the cops of the water. I mean, they would be insulted to hear me say that.
A nicer way to say it is they guard the shores of this great country.
Oh, that's nice. Can they arrest
you? Oh, good. Sound like fucking that guy from
Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Can they arrest you? The Coast Guard?
Yes. I would love to see you with a giant shipment of drugs when they pulled up. Who are you guys? Do you guys like have sex with each other? Oh, you're the Coast Guard. Oh, wait, you're like the cops of the water. Wait, can you arrest me? I would pay you fucking all the money in the world just to see the look on their fucking face.
I know I'm insulting so many Coast Guard members. Officers?
Wow.
Officers.
Not members. No, there's all different ranks. Like I imagine there's seamen.
There's like
keep your mind out of the gutter. All the way up to officers, there's captains.
Captain.
You want me? Hey, why don't we do this? You know, Nia, when I don't know stuff, I just ask the internet. And whoever made a page on it, then I just go, oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. Okay. The Coast Guard. Let's get it. I got to go wiki on this so they'll actually help me out here. All right. Okay, the United States Coast Guard is a service chief and highest ranking member. Oh, this is the commandant of the United States Coast Guard. Sorry. Your phone is vibrating over. The United States Coast Guard is a branch of the United States Armed Forces and one of the country's.
It's the Army.
Nia, you You can't save everything by saying of the water. Nia, you've been watching the Kardashian show way too fucking much here. All right.
What is that supposed to mean?
Jesus. All right, wait a second. The Coast Guard is a maritime military multi-mission service unique among the U.S. Military branches for having maritime law enforcement. Can they arrest people? With jurisdiction in both domestic and international waters. Now, there's a big one. I didn't know international. So you can't, like, outrun these fuckers and then just sit there and make faces at them the second you get out in international waters. I didn't know that. And a federal regular... I thought once you went out in international waters, it was captain's law, right? Captain's log. And a federal regulation mission is part of the mission. Its mission set. It operates under the U.S. Department of Homeland Security during peacetime and can be transferred to the U.S. Department of the Navy.
All right, I'm going to stop.
No, no, you're right. So I didn't realize that they were then activated. I thought they were like the sort of the farm team, like AAA of the Navy.
Of the water.
Of the water, yes. You know, there's a lot of people laughing at us right now, and they didn't know that they could be activated to the Navy.
All right, my point is, I was just saying...
This has happened twice, that they were made part of the Navy. Once in 1917 during World War I, and another time during World War II. And that's obviously, you know, Pearl Harbor happened, and then German U-boats, and I don't know what the fuck happened in World War I.
Okay.
Were there wooden ships off our coast?
Right.
No, there weren't wooden ships at that point.
Okay.
Although the fucking biplanes were made out of, like, Kleenex, I think. All right, I think that we've showed how dumb we are. all right, that's the podcast, everybody. If you'd like to see this live, if you'd actually like to see this train wreck live, once again, All Things Comedy Festival podcast. All Things Comedy Festival. We are having this on October 26th through the 29th in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to be at Stand Up Live on October 28th. Doing this podcast live. And there's been a lot of people requesting that you're there.
Really?
But we got the kiddo, so I don't know if that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Where is it?
It's in Arizona. You want to fly to Arizona to do a podcast for free?
I don't know.
Hey, how funny was it the other day?
I swear I'm not.
The other day when you were getting sad and you were starting to cry and I just kept making that sad face, which would then make you laugh and then you couldn't cry. I hate when Nia cries because I don't know what to do. I told you that story. Big tears, right? So she was talking. I didn't know what the fuck. She was talking something about our kid.
You don't even know what it is that I'm talking about. Like, you don't even care. You're just like, make it stop. Don't do that.
Yeah, all I did was she just started tearing up. She's like, you know, I want to talk to you about something. I'm just worried that in the future. She started doing that. And when she did that, I made a little sad face. And then she looked up and saw me. And then you started fucking laughing. What was funny is you had tears in your eyes, but you were laughing. And then she kept trying to go back to crying again. No, listen to me. I'm just trying to stay. And then I would make the sad face again. Guys, you got to do that to your woman. Next time she gets... No. Hey, look, if it's something fucking serious.
It was something serious.
It wasn't.
Yes.
It was silly.
It was serious.
I thought it was trivial.
Exactly. See, not everyone is going to be as...
You know why I thought it was trivial? Because it was coming out of your dumb head.
Exactly. You don't even know what it was that I was concerned about.
You were concerned about the cops of the water. You're laughing like you baked.
Wait a second. So does the Coast Guard also...
Yeah, that's it. The ship has sailed. No pun intended.
Hey.
It's over.
Well, maybe, Huba. all right, fine. No, don't give someone the pouty face when they're coming to you crying about an emotional issue that they're feeling. That's a terrible thing.
All right, then tell me what you were concerned about. I'll be immature now. Go ahead. What were you concerned about?
It was about your two.
It's a good move because it keeps you happy. All right, that's the podcast.
Okay.
That's the podcast. I know we have the creepy surveillance.
The monitor. She's so peaceful.
Looks like you shot her with like a dart or something. She just, just face down. She's out. It's like some Discovery Channel when you want to tag an animal. All right. That's the podcast for this Monday. Go fuck yourselves. I'll check in on you on Thursday. Thank you to everybody who came out to the shows this week in, this weekend in St. Petersburg. And I had a great time once again out there. Cigar capital of the U.S., Nini.
Oh, yeah.
It was fucking tremendous. It was tremendous. All right. I'll see you guys.